I'll take that cross back, or you have to do the reports. That's good. I don't know your custom here, but let me ask you to stand while we listen to the gospel today. The gospel reading for Palm Sunday comes to us from Matthew's gospel, the 21st chapter. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers." The gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, I greet you on behalf of the 112 congregations and mission starts that make up the St. Paul Area Synod. We are a synod, a group of about 125,000 baptized Christians in congregations stretching from Washington and Ramsey counties in the middle up to Chisago County in the north and down to Dakota County in the south. But if you look at that from a bird's eye view, very close to where the heart would be is Redeemer Lutheran Church in White Bear Lake. For 53 years now, you have been a place where God's saving word is announced and God's grace is lived out in service and outreach. Your understanding of neighborhood stretches far and wide. You care for seniors and for school kids close to home. But you also help out at the Dorothy Day Center and the Open Hands in the Midway of St. Paul. You support the work we do together as a synod in global mission, including our partnerships in Tanzania and Guatemala, and all the work of the ELCA through efforts like World Hunger. I want to thank you for being a place where faith is lived out every day of the year. But we all know that today is one of those special days in the year, our own parade or procession in with palm branches. Our coming in this special way into the sanctuary is modeled on Matthew's account of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem in ancient times. It's as though we have entered the gospel text and are walking alongside the story. Now, in the story, we learn that Jesus did not make that journey alone. The disciples were with him there, and so was a really large, boisterous crowd of fellow travelers. Have any of you here ever been part of a large, moving river of humanity? Maybe at a sporting event, trying to get out to the parking garages, or at a public ceremony, a commemorative march, or a religious festival. Have you ever been caught up in that much excitement and energy as part of a crowd? I hope you have. We might imagine that that is the point today, that Palm Sunday is all about big crowds and triumph and acclaim, excitement and worldwide recognition of Jesus as Israel's long-awaited king. But I'll tell you this, in Matthew's gospel, the crowds always come with mixed motives. Some are people of faith and others are of unfaith. In the verses right before the passage we just heard, not far up the road in Jericho, this same crowd tells two blind beggars to shut up when they cry out to Jesus for healing. Those in the crowd are certain that Jesus has no concern for those who aren't perfect in this world. And then just a little bit later in Matthew's gospel, this same crowd will be quick to taunt and ridicule Jesus, urging the Roman officials to go ahead and crucify him. And so on Palm Sunday, we try to get our bearings before we step into all the stories, the emotions, the memories of the events that lead from here to the cross, from the cross to the tomb, and then mercy upon mercy that lead from that tomb to next Sunday's celebration of the surprising gift of Easter morning. Recently on Facebook, where some think I spend about half of my life, a friend posted that she was sad that she had been so busy this year that she had completely missed out on Lent. I quickly commented that she had 10 days left and it wasn't too late to enter into this time of preparation and reflection, and when we're done, I'm going to mail this sermon to her. And I bet some of us here can also relate to that. It's tempting to think that the 40 days of Lent is something that we do, that it's about us and about whether what we have done, whether our actions make or break Lent this current year. Now, I want to assure you, your faith practices and the congregation's Lenten worship and study do matter, of course. Still trying to make up my mind about those peep dioramas. But I can tell you, friends, that the one who gives meaning to Palm Sunday and Holy Week is not you or me. It's God. God is right here at work. The story from Matthew, Jesus enters Jerusalem in a manner that reaches way back in time to God's ancient prophets. Jesus enters the city on a borrowed donkey, and if you're wondering, was he riding the donkey and the colt? Know that there was an ancient practice to have the colt tied on one side of the mother donkey and for the rider to ride with his feet to the other side, though I've seen some fantastic artwork with Jesus straddling both beasts, usually done by 10-year-olds. Jesus rides into the city on a borrowed donkey, Because in ancient times, several of the kings of Israel before him entered the city in that way. Jesus comes, people are excited and they wave branches and they shout the same greeting that is always cried, had been cried out to the Jewish pilgrims coming on that road from Jericho into Jerusalem. They cried out, "Blessed is the one who comes in God's name." But I'll tell you this, of all the world's leaders, it's Jesus who enters his capital city without weapons or an army. Our king goes into the temple, and notice that he clears out both the merchants and their customers, insisting that God's house be a place for prayer and healing and welcome for all people. As some of you heard me say, between services at the forum in early February, I was part of a group of eight who traveled from the ELCA to spend 2 weeks in Europe with our presiding bishop, Liz Eaton. On that trip, we met with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Anglican world leaders in London. We spent several days in top-level discussions with leaders of the Lutheran World Federation and the World Council of Churches in Geneva. We belong to both of those groups. We spent a week in Rome talking with key leaders from the Vatican, and some in our group actually got to shake the hand of Pope Francis. I'll tell you this, as a girl who grew up in the small town in Ohio, I couldn't believe I was along on such a trip, and an amazing trip it was. We saw an impressive array of tourist sites, Buckingham Palace and Westminster Abbey, the UN Center in Geneva, which still serves as the hub for refugee relief work among the millions of refugees in our world. We saw the Pantheon and the Colosseum, St. Peter's Basilica, and even those catacombs I had read about in Rome. But those were simply the backdrop to the real excitement on the trip. You see, we didn't go to Europe as tourists. We went as pilgrims. Oh, we were bishops and pastors, and we met other bishops and archbishops and cardinals and even the Pope. But at the deepest level, we were simply Christians, yearning to be with our other brothers and sisters in Christ, and they were yearning to be with us, pilgrims. In every one of those settings, in every one of those cities, we talk seriously about what really matters most to us. In our churches, we spoke about Jesus. We spoke about service in the name of the risen Christ. We spoke about congregations like Redeemer in White Bear Lake. And in every one of those places, we prayed together. Sometimes we even joined hands as we prayed. We were there for 2 weeks. It made absolutely no headlines, but I will always carry that experience right here. I pray today that we all might receive God's invitation to enter into these most holy days, not as tourists, but as pilgrims in search of God's mercy and grace. You know, and I know that the week ahead will remain busy for many, including perhaps most of us here. Work and school, long-planned vacations and social commitments. I have to admit, in our generation, it's amazing, but it's really hard to reorient our lives even for a week in order to make room for these sacred days. But amazingly, none of that deters God. God was not put off by that fickle crowd up on the Mount of Olives. God was not stymied by the way the merchants and their customers had crowded into that holy place of worship. God was not even put off by indifference to the prophet's cries for justice. God was not discouraged when the world's leaders like Herod, were threatened by the infant Jesus as well as by the grown-up Jesus. You see, God did not wait for the world to be ready to give a proper welcome to the King of Kings. Instead, God in Jesus entered Jerusalem as one who was humble and gentle, riding on a borrowed donkey. And Jesus still comes to us in that way. Whether we have really prepared for Lent this year or whether we have hugely fallen behind. Whether the faith in us seems strong and vital or pretty puzzling and maybe even hard to name. What kind of king is this Jesus who makes a so-called triumphal entry? Friends, he is a king who reached down to meet us right where we are. Not with vengeance, but with grace. Can you believe it? Once again, it's Palm Sunday and we're at the beginning of Holy Week. A week in which we pilgrims can expect to live lives transformed by God's grace. For you see, even now, God is preparing us to live in new and authentic ways as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'll tell you one more thing. As we watch and wait this week, Easter is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen.